to be in the car anymore. I want to go home. I don't want to go to Wally World.
Clark, under the circumstances, I wouldn't mind if we just went home. In retrospect, it seems like a pretty bad idea driving out. It's been one disaster after another.
Yeah, it's been a real drag, Dad. Maybe we can try it some other time. Wally World's overrated anyway.
What do you think?
I think you're all fucked in the head. We're 10 hours from the fucking fun park and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fucking fun we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles. You'll be whistling Zippity Doodah out of your assholes. I got to be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose. Holy shit!
That's from the movie Vacation with Chevy Chase. That thing set the bar for vacation flicks, and it could never get made today. Clark Griswold uses the word fuck in front of his kids. They accidentally drag a dog behind the car, killing it. And many other politically incorrect scenes that would never be written today, never mind shown to audiences. And why is that? Simple. When that movie was released in 1983, people were fucking smarter. They could discern between fact and fiction and understand that it's make-believe. In 2022, morons will see that movie and say,
I don't relate to the humor.
Or,
that's legit not funny.
But I digress. Here we are, mid-July, peak vacation time. People have wildly varying requirements for their vacations. Some just want to veg out, baste themselves with oil, and bake on a beach somewhere. Way different from those cliff diving and ice climbing adrenaline junkies. But whatever the plan, nobody plans for a vacation to go awry. And when it does, you can be sure of one thing. That's the one you'll remember most clearly. I've had a few of those. Hang on. I'm going to tell you about them.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Yeah, everybody has vacation disasters, huh? No matter how carefully you plan a trip, fate can intervene and knock it sideways. Sometimes fate has nothing to do with it and people fuck up vacations all by themselves. There was a laugh-out-loud story this week about some tourist visiting Italy who stood on the edge of Mount Vesuvius for a selfie and then fell in. Lucky for him, he didn't croak. When my kids were small, we loaded up the fun wagon for a look at the Grand Canyon. It's a long day's drive from Los Angeles. We arrived just around sunset, and as we stood on the edge looking across 270 miles of ravine and sky, my three-year-old daughter asked, "When are we getting to the Grand Canyon?" My wife and I both hung on to the kids' hands pretty tightly. There are very few railings around the rim, thank God. And that lack of railings is a big assist in Darwinism. Not surprisingly, about 5 people plunge to their deaths there annually. While we visited, I saw multiple idiots hanging from ledges by their fingers for that kick-ass once-in-a-lifetime picture. Now, if those guys fell, and it's almost invariably guys, would they call it an accident? When you consider that the only fear we are born with is the fear of falling, and the effort a canyon-visiting moron expends to squelch that fear, well, how are they not idiots? By the way, I did a deep dive into the selfie realm in episode 89, Kill Your Selfie. That's in the May 2018 tab at thatlarryshow.com. It's a very popular episode. In it, I even invented a word. Fabulosity. That show was only 4 years ago, but have you noticed a trend that was white hot back then? seems to have vanished. The selfie stick. Where the hell are they? You never see those anymore. They were the must-have accessory for out-of-the-closet narcissists. But then Disneyland and museums began to ban them, and more pinheads were falling into volcanoes and overboard on cruise ships while using them. Vacation disasters are sure to be in the upswing this summer, right? With so much pent-up demand after all the COVID lockdowns and other bullshit. The airlines are understaffed, mostly due to vaccine injuries. All flights are late. Half of them are canceled. Air travel is a shit show. And with gasoline prices, the family road trips will be curtailed. If this shit keeps up, watch asshat politicians start legislating bicycle lanes on interstate highways. So fucking green. So fucking stupid. I've had my share of vacation disasters. As the kid and the parent. It's kind of fun to compare and contrast. As a young guy, my mom and dad were very partial to the Jersey Shore. The beaches were fantastic. There was endless variety in the style of towns, from the honky-tonk atmosphere of Asbury or Seaside Heights to stately mansions in Deal or Manilocking, and the gingerbread Victorian vibe of Cape May. Deep-sea fishing boats were everywhere. We'd stay in motels that were just built, everything fresh and clean. Sometimes they had a fridge or a kitchenette and always a sparkling pool. Loads of great restaurants, and not a very long drive from Queens, New York, and they were budget-friendly. It was all good. A little familiar, but what's wrong with that? So this one time, for God knows what reason, maybe just for variety, we headed out to a place called Lake Ronkonkoma. It's in Suffolk County, Long Island. One of the kicks of the Jersey Shore was the scent of the Atlantic. You could smell it for miles before you could see it. And once you arrived, there was always a glorious, cool sea breeze. Most towns had a boardwalk with all the customary carnival amusements. Carousels, thrill rides, shooting galleries, arcades. It was fantastic. I remember arriving at this lake, feeling instant disappointment. It was hot and humid. There was no breeze, no boardwalk, no amusements. The lake was surrounded by trees. Our motel was right across from the beach, but it was not a big, new, or flashy place. It was individual little cabins, repainted 100 times over old paint chips and bubbles in an ugly shade of green. You walked up 2 wooden steps and opened an old screen door, and a spring made it slam behind you. Inside was ancient linoleum and 2 queen beds on metal tubular frames that looked like they'd been taken from some old hospital. The walls were covered with a floral wallpaper. Was it carnations? I don't know. But it was hideous and depressing. There was no TV, no fridge, and most of all, no AC. It was like a place where Bonnie and Clyde might have holed up when they were on the run. The bathroom had a tiny stall shower, no tub, and 2 cakes of soap the size of communion wafers. The towels were white with a blue stripe and very thin. There was a pedestal sink with a faucet so short you'd have to wash 1 hand at a time. The mirror over the sink was flanked by 2 fluorescent bulbs that hissed and buzzed while giving your face the pallor of death. My parents gave each other a troubled look, and they were uncharacteristically silent. I was not privy to their decision-making conversation, but unfortunately, they chose to stay. We unpacked the car, 1 suitcase for each of us, plus the Puritron. What was a Puritron? Well, more on that later. But first, to the beach. We hauled all the beach crap from the trunk of the Ford. Folding chairs and towels and inner tubes and snorkels and kickboards and coppertone and flip-flops. The beach sand looked kind of brown. And as we walked in it for the first time, it didn't feel like the granular stuff on Jersey beaches. It felt like a mixture of sand and dirt. Once we settled in, we had lots of company. Flies and mosquitoes. There were no waves, and I like waves. Now, my old man could swim like a dolphin, so he dove right in. My brother and I hung out on the beach with Mom. After a while, Dad came out of the water and invited us to jump in and swim with him. That was when a stranger appeared. He began to talk with my father, advising him to consider swimming a ways off from where we were parked. My old man asked him why, and the guy lowered his voice, but we could still hear him. He said somebody had drowned right about where we were just a day or two earlier. The guy went on to say that the lake was very deep and the bottom was unstable, that there were sinkholes that could cause whirlpools known to suck even strong swimmers to the bottom. My dad was incredulous. He'd always been an ocean swimmer. And the moment Mom heard that horror story, my brother and I knew we weren't going any further into that water than our ankles. But the old man was dubious. Maybe he's a nut or exaggerating. But Mom was taking no chances. We left the beach. I don't recall where we had dinner, but I do recall bedtime back at the Shady Rest Motel, and I'm pretty sure that's what the place was called. The beds were lumpy and squeaked if you moved. The room was stifling, and my brother was in agony. The hay fever season was brutal, the pollen count over the moon. It also bugged him at home, which is where the famed and utterly useless Puritron machine came into play. It was a metal box, maybe, I don't know, 14 inches square, like maybe the size of a tiny toaster oven, about the same shape. It had intake ports on top and a square exhaust opening in front beside an on-off toggle switch. When turned on, a feeble stream of filtered, quote-unquote, air flowed from the front, and it emitted a blue light. What was that? Well, it was a magic UV, ultraviolet, yes, bulb, and it allegedly cleansed impurities and trapped pollen. Well, all night long, accompanied by the constant thrum of the Puritron's fan, and bathed in the eerie glow of that sanitizing light bulb, my poor brother sneezed and blew his nose and struggled for air as we all swatted mosquitoes. Sometime around midnight, I popped a mysterious fever and began projectile vomiting. It was fucking torture for everyone. Dawn had barely broken when we were loading up the Ford to flee the disaster scene that was Lake Ronkonkoma. Oddly, I remember that shitty time somewhat more vividly than many of the wonderful times on the Jersey Shore. Maybe bad memories are stickier. In retrospect, it really boiled down to just one uncomfortable, sleepless night. Hardly a disaster. But not what you expect from a vacation, right? My parents probably tried to salvage the remainder of our time and headed for the Jersey Shore or some other location, but I don't remember. I never gave much thought to the place until right now. And so I did a little research. That stranger on the beach who warned my old man, well, he was neither bullshitting nor exaggerating. Turns out Lake Ronkonkoma is so fucked up, many people think it's cursed, and few locals will swim in it. As lakes go, it is small, but it is deep. 90 feet in some places. There's at least one drowning every season, sometimes more. The water is incredibly murky, zero visibility below 10 feet. The bottom is thick muck, and it does shift and cause whirlpools. Many drowning victims have never been found. The moment a struggling swimmer sinks below the surface, they become impossible for lifeguards to locate. Unlike most lakes, the water level does not correlate with rainfall. Records show that during a period of the 1900s, rainfall declined by 52 inches, yet the lake's level rose 7 feet. Occasionally, Ronkonkoma belches up a corpse. One lifeguard quit on his first day when he dove in for a swim, and on the way to the surface felt a heavy weight on his back. It was a decomposing body. Some years back, I took the family for a long weekend at a pretty stylish place north of Los Angeles. It's no Shady Rest Motel. Plush and upscale, great restaurants, a vineyard, golf course, tennis, horseback. The complete California experience. Rooms are big, beautiful, with fireplaces. There are mountain views, two pools, fire pits. What could go wrong? In four syllables, food poisoning. For some reason, I was unaffected. We never figured out the source, but it was insane. The girls, sick as dogs, with me on the phone to room service. Send up more towels. Send up more toilet paper. Racing out to CVS for Imodium AD. Getting back to the hotel, just in time for another round of cleanup. Now that room could have used a Puritron that actually worked, but upsized by a factor of 10, and a cleaning crew with hazmat suits. By morning, my wife and kids were starting to recover. They felt well enough to go into town for lunch. All I could think of was the look in the maid's face when she'd opened that door. When we returned to the room, it was like nothing had happened. And the next day was a vast improvement. Everyone felt better. There was a swim in the pool with lunch and margaritas, some horseback, a wonderful dinner at a terrific restaurant, with no ill effects. When we departed the hotel, I left a very generous tip for the maids. They more than earned it. So things come full circle, don't they? Within most dads is a chunk of Clark Griswold. You find yourself in places doing nutty things you had never imagined you would do. I'm pretty sure my parents both wanted to flee the Shady Rest the moment they set foot in it. Odds are they had driven past other places, better places, that were flashing no vacancy signs. But they did not want to disappoint my brother or me, so they probably opted for that classic parental trope, make the best of it. And they tried. When I found myself in similar circumstances with my own family decades later, I thought of my dad, of Clark Griswold, and that hellish night in Lake Ronkonkoma. It was rough for both of us, but as I dealt with a sick family, I had air conditioning, room service, and no mosquitoes. He definitely had a tougher situation. When my wife and kids finally fell asleep around 2 or 3 in the morning, I closed my eyes and remembered the fantastic times on the Jersey Shore. Dad at the wheel of a huge Ford or Chevy, driving us back to some comfy motel after a nice dinner somewhere, after a full day of fun at the beach and the boardwalk. The car windows would be open. You'd hear and feel the whoosh of cars whizzing by in the oncoming lane. You could hear electrical shorts fizzing on the utility poles as you drove past them. Smell freshly mown grass in a field, or the tang of low tide in an ocean inlet. I'd stare at the motels with their brightly lit swimming pools and orange bug lights outside every door. The marquee signs proclaiming all the amenities. Color TV, air conditioning, weekly rates, AAA approved. And an endless stream of neon-lit restaurants trumpeting their gustatory delights. Steaks, chops, cocktails, clams on the half shell. Soon I'd be asleep, sprawled on that big back seat, without a seatbelt. I had no worries. After a while, I'd feel the car slow, hear the crunch of the tires on the gravel of the motel parking lot. I was ready for my pillow. My brother and I would brush our teeth in a hurry and collapse into bed. Our lullaby was the Johnny Carson theme as my parents chuckled at him and Doc and Big Ed McMahon. For a few final minutes, the room was lit by the flickering light of a zenith. Life was good. Perfect, really. Those were the typical summer vacations. Lake Ronkonkoma was an anomaly. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page, thatlarryshow.com, for hundreds more episodes. I know you're dying to see a Puritron, and I'll post a picture of one there for you. While you're there enjoying yourself, why not support the show you love so well? Click the Patreon or PayPal button and make a donation. Or if you prefer, there's a post office box that accepts checks and cash. Maybe you're on vacation right now. If so, I hope it's the best ever. Whether road trip, luxury cruise, or camping in the wilderness, enjoy. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, have fun and take no shit.